Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Ultimately, this comprehension is that God became man, and that God becoming man is able to take upon himself all of the sin of the world. And again, this is where our whole belief is connected to. 1 John 2:2 talks about that he became the propitiation. And we've talked about that word before, big word, but meaning pretty straightforward. God, in his righteousness, hates sin. There's no getting around that. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world, John says. God being righteous needs to satisfy, there needs to be satisfaction for his righteous indignation, his wrath against sin. Being holy and perfect, he hates sin. And basically, it's because of what it does. Those of you who have battled cancer, and I know there's many of you here who have battled with cancer, it's easy to hate what it does. You know, those of us who have ministered to those who are dying with HIV, with AIDS, and what it's like, and the decay. Sin is what put all this in motion, this decay process that we're in. Sin put that in motion. In the garden, it was perfect design, and man was to live perpetually in fellowship with the Father. That was the original design. Sin entered in, and now the decline starts to take place. He hates what sin does to his creation and to his children, to humanity. You ever watch what sin does to a young person's life? Some of us know what it's done, you know, in lives, but if you ever watched, those of you who have kids that maybe have gotten distant from the Lord, watched what it can do, boy, it's not funny. Very discouraging. It's a slow death process, really, of separation. It's horrible what happens. But God, out of his love, how is he going to satisfy this situation? How is this going to be remedied? With his great love, God himself, hating sin, needs to punish and deal with sin. God himself comes to the earth in the form of the Son. God himself in the Son takes your sin, my sin, and the sin of the world upon himself because he loves you and because he loves me. This is propitiation, therefore satisfying the debt. Wow. What great love God has for you and for me. He loves us with a perfect love. This is why he is able to forgive, because the debt has been paid. He's able to forgive you. He's able to forgive me of any and all sin and unrighteousness. Our faith is hinged on these truths. They said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, just in verse 25, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. He says, this is all part of the Father's plan. I'm not doing this in and of myself. You know, Jesus, in being such a perfect public speaker, absolute perfection, the perfection of public speaking is knowing what not to say and doing just that. Because you see, I have no regrets for what I've not said. You know, it's a pretty great thing. And therein lies quite a dichotomy, isn't it? The perfection of public speaking is knowing what not to say and actually doing just that. Jesus, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But that's all he says about that. What great wisdom. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. And Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And you remember, Luke's account is a great account on this, as the curtain was rent from top to bottom, and access now was made at the cross. The earth shook, the sky darkened. And you remember the centurion? Surely, this is the Son of God. The centurion, man, he saw what was happening and recognized the situation. And he who sent me, and he who sent me is with me, Jesus said in verse 29. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Constant fellowship with the Father. I always do those things that please him. You know, this is why I think Paul the Apostle said, pray without ceasing. Because if we're in prayer and we're in fellowship with the God, we're going to have much more optimum opportunity to do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. And he spoke these words, and many believed. Really, when they looked back, and so many knew him, knew who he was, had watched for the things that he had done, really, there was no valid contradiction regarding his life or that statement about his life. For I always do those things that please him. You see, he wasn't the brother that did the kind of things that some of us may have done to our family members. He wasn't that kind of a brother growing up, you see. He always did the, he was, and there was no contradiction of this. And so, man, that's true. And they just, many believed and followed him. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Again, this concept of abiding in his word. This is why we love to just spend time and go through the word together and abide in the word. This word abide is really a word of submission, to be present and accounted for, one, and to also be in subjection to his word. And so I think that's very important for us, because this is one of the distinct aspects that you are my disciples indeed. If you're really in subjection to what we've just talked about, that what he said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That simple statement of our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And you shall know the truth, he says, and the truth shall make you free. Now, interesting statement they make here in verse 33. This is the religious group that's kind of tagging along now, that's there listening in, and there's a bunch of them that have said, no, you know what? We do believe that you're who you say you are, but there's also this other group that's there still, and they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Like, how can you say we're going to be made free? Now, this is an interesting, don't you think it's an interesting statement? From the Jewish leaders of their time? How familiar were they with their own history? 400 years in bondage in Egypt, in bondage through the judges a good portion of the time by all kinds of groups. And then all of a sudden you get a little bit further and you find, oh my goodness, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, all in bondage to them. And at the present moment that they're interacting with Jesus, the Romans are ruling over them. Interesting, isn't it? That's their mindset. This is what sin does, isn't it? It's blinding. I can't see things for how they really are because I become blinded because of sin. The circumstances in life don't look the same. I'm looking at them through some other lens. This is why he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. True freedom is found in the submission and subjection of the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the very heart and the intent. It knows what you and I really need. Not what we think we need, but what we really need. It shows you and I for who we really are. Not who we want to be or who we think we should be, but who we really are. Jesus answers that group in verse 34. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of it, or that they become in bondage to it. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. This idea of it is fun for a season, the Bible says, regarding sin. But eventually, the suffering starts. It's fun for a season, but eventually the suffering starts. But a son abides forever. That relationship with God lasts forever and ever. Not cast out into the struggles of life. And then he says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Speaking frankly for a few moments in our... See, this is the first time I've said it too, in our closing thoughts. And these are they. Jesus talked about being the light of the world. Jesus has drawn a very clear line of contrast between the religious and a relationship with God. Jesus has made it clear that he is deity, he is God. Not to be questioned. He is who he says he is. And we do have to exercise our faith. And we have to embrace that. We have to do something with that truth. And he finally gets to this thought of, you know, well, you need to be in subjection to this new master, Jesus, who has set you free. From what? The power of sin and death. That this life we can make a transfer from this life into everlasting life, that we can have everlasting life can be ours. If the Son makes you free, that's where true freedom is found. I have found this to be an ongoing truth. I understand it in its inception for you and for me as initial believers as we give our lives to Jesus Christ. I also know that Satan wants to continue to ensnare you and ensnare me in sin. That's a truth. And it can be in vice, things that we can get ensnared by. It can be vice. Well, what do you do, vice? It's any type of things, addictions and different things that we can get caught back up in, dependencies on stuff. You know, I found this to be true about a lot of different layers of life. When we were worshiping, I started thinking back to this true freedom that is ours in Jesus Christ. And that I remember when I really first understood this, not realizing that I was even harboring things, didn't even know what that really meant or the concept. But had just given my life back to the Lord, wanted to follow God, knew I was messed up, knew I needed Jesus. I was clearly in desperate need internally of the Lord. And have found that I revisit this same thought over and over again in my life. And it's a good place to go to and to remember the deliverance of God. One of the things that I found as I gave my life back to the Lord was that there were things there that needed to go, in order for me to really enjoy the freedom that was mine in him. Now, certainly, I had problems. I had some substance things going, alcohol problems, all kinds of things going on in my life, and I needed God's deliverance, no doubt. But those were kind of runny nose, really. That wasn't really the issue. That was just what was going on. That wasn't really the issue. There was other things deep down inside me that were going on that weren't right. For almost 10 years, so from my 15 to my mid-20s, I hadn't had really any relationship with my mom because of an ugly divorce thing, and I was the youngest in our home, and many of you are familiar with this. I've shared it before. But I share this from my heart, and I want you to hear this part of this because it really makes a difference if you can just grasp this truth about being set free. Was that inside me, I was harboring a lot of resentment for a lot of things that I had no control over, but things that happened in my life. And I had resentment against situations and circumstances and stuff, and I didn't even understand really what, I've heard the word bitter, but I didn't know anything about what it meant. All I knew is I was just sitting there one day reading through the Bible after I had given my heart back to the Lord. I was reading along, and it just came across the servant in the Gospels that had been forgiven everything. All his debt was wiped away, and I'm that guy. And I was just thankful, man. My debt's been wiped away. And then it goes on and says, talks about that same guy then going out. He's been forgiven millions and millions in his indebtedness. And then for 10 cents, 10 bucks, whatever you want, the contrast was there, clearly there, goes out and starts choking his friend and saying, "You owe me my 10 bucks. I want my 10 bucks. And it struck me so much because, you see, forgiveness is an important thing. Forgiveness is an avenue that leads us to be reconciled with God and with others. And you can begin to harbor bitterness and resentment, and I hope this cuts to many of your hearts like it cuts to my heart. I think back to these things, and I deal with this on a regular, because it's very important that we deal with these things accurately and effectively, because you can carry this stuff around with you, and it starts to be this load. And you know what you got to do? You got to grab another log, another hatred log, another resentment log out of the bin, and you got to throw it on the fire to keep those fires burning. Yeah, I remember when I remember what they said. I remember the way they looked. You got to grab another log and throw it on and keep those fires burning. I'd spent almost 10 years of my life grabbing tinder and throwing it on this bin. You think, well, you're just a messed up dude, Pastor Jim. Yeah, that's true. I agree. I'll agree with you on that. But I also have been set free, and indeed, I have been set free. Many of you today are carrying a weight that God wants to sever from behind. He wants to just cut those strings. He wants to deliver you from that. You don't need to carry it. You don't need to have resentment. You don't need to have, he wants to set you free entirely. And it doesn't matter what the circumstance is, but the avenue is always going to be through humility. I remember after reading that, we made contact with my mom, invited her over for dinner, and yeah, we went back and hashed it all out. Nope, never said a word. Why? What was there to talk about? What was there to go over? He said, she said, you thought, you looked at me funny. I thought, you know, just makes you crazy. What's the point? There is no point. That's the point. Well, it'll just make me feel better if I air it all out. No, probably not. I don't know that that's really true. What makes you and I feel better is being set free by Jesus Christ in those matters. And I remember thinking, well, even if this doesn't go too well, I've been liberated because my heart's right before the Lord, because it's me and God that need to stay on the right plane. If me and God are doing cool, everything else is going to be okay, ultimately. And I told you the end of the story. I say this with great passion and conviction on my heart. Don't harbor resentment and bitterness. It is a cancer that will kill the spiritual life within you, and you will be robbed of your joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I hope you are cut to the very core right now, if this is where you're at, because we need deep surgery by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know I don't say these things too often like this from the front, but I'm telling you, this is serious stuff because we want to be set free. We want to run, as the Bible declares, unencumbered. But those are the things, those sins that easily entangle us. God wants you to be free. And you know what it is? It's free to love people the way God loves them. You see, because Jesus sees people differently than you and I do. Jesus doesn't build up resentment. Jesus just loves you and just loves me, right, with the way we are and who we are. And he wants you to be forgiven and to you to experience and to exchange forgiveness in the heart. Because then you're free. Other than that, you got to keep carrying your wood pile with you everywhere you go. You got a wheelbarrow with wood. You got to bring, put another log on there. Yeah, I remember when they, oh, get another log quick, you know, and you got to keep that thing burning. I'm just straight mad about all that, you know, keep it alive, you know. Geez, let it burn out, will you? Please, dump a bucket of Holy Spirit on it and just move on. Life is too short. I gained nothing from that 10 years. I gained nothing, brothers and sisters. I gained nothing. I remember when my dad had passed and I thought, oh, man, what a loss. I suffered such loss. And then I remember 10 years later, when my mom passed, 8 to 10 years later. And I thought, oh man, gosh, Lord, I just can barely bear this again. The Lord spoke to my heart. We're even. I got my 10 years back. That's God's grace and God's mercy. You see, with our world full of divorce and anxiety and a lot of issues that go on and just life stuff, and I know, man, believe me, I know. But God wants to set us free. I stand up before you today as a liberated man. I hold no charge. And that allows me to be able to love you out of his grace and his mercy the way he loves me. God's desire is that we are to one to another have that kind of relationship. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over this right now in my heart, just so you know, that you'd know what I'm saying from my heart. We've got, that's love. Love isn't just, oh, hey, I love you, man. That's a word that is disposable in our world. What I've described to you is being liberated and set free. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. And I know that some of you may have a tug on your heart that the Lord's just kind of speaking to you personally and that you'd like to give your life to Jesus or maybe like to give your life back to Jesus. Well, this is your opportunity. This is your time. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Jesus desires to have fellowship, personal relationship with us. And so he stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He loves us. He doesn't force entrance into our lives, but he wants you to open the door and invite him in. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now just to pray a simple prayer of faith. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're driving or you're sitting at home or you're out on a walk with the earbuds in, whatever it might be, but this is your opportunity to give your life and get back to Jesus or give it to Jesus that you might have everlasting life. He wants to spend all eternity with you and he wants you to have life abundant. So if you would just pray this simple prayer with me, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all of my sin. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take my sin and my old life and just give me a new life in you. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you for the new life that I have in you now. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come into my life and fill me to overflowing, that I might accomplish your purpose. Lord, that your will would be done now in and through my life.
I give my life to you. I thank you for the new life I have. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us again next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.